Yes, everybody. I just realised I have no idea which camera I'm looking at here.
Hi.
Welcome to House and Brew. This is Stretford Paddock. We have got Adam, we have got Kieran, and you go, who the fucking hell is he? That is Turk.
Right, hello, Turk. Yeah.
Can we call you Turk?
You can, yeah. My first name is basically Turk nowadays. Sort of, it's what I'm known for.
Really close in
time. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, I'm new to this, but yeah, it's
so
exciting.
Turk is a new member of the team.
Hello.
Mainly responsible for doing a bit of the writing. In fact, you and Kieran have been doing a lot of the writing, haven't you?
Alex has been recently doing a lot of the heavy lifting compared to me, so I will give props where it is due. He is a far more capable writer than I am, I would have to say.
So you might have noticed, because we've been sharing it on socials quite a lot, but we have done a bit of a link up with Sports Illustrated, one of the biggest websites in the world, certainly in the world of sport. And boobs, and
this is
with
true.
The
swimsuit edition. Yes, yeah. I think that's what all these horny bastards know.
I'm not sure when I'm doing the swimsuit issue, but all right, okay. Apparently, my mic's no good. Is it a cable? Is it a cable that we're talking about? All right. So it sounds like my mic's not working properly. Fantastic. So we've been doing a lot of writing lately with Sports Illustrated and stuff like that. You've seen us all sharing them, and we'll be doing more of that. And we're also looking for more people who want to write for us as well. So if you're interested in all that kind of shit, then that's what we're doing.
And let us know as well just what kind of content people are looking for as well. Don't be afraid to just let us know in the comments. Is there anything you'd like to see? We've been doing stuff like a Where Are They Now segment and, you know, player analysis after each game. So let us know in the comments of each tweet. We're on Facebook as well. What you'd like to see? Good stuff coming the way anyway.
You have to do a bit of heavy lifting for us while my mic gets sorted out.
Yeah, so basically, I'll take over for Stephen with the technical issues. Lads, Derby yesterday. I'm still kind of just letting it sink in at the moment. We had Sean Goater in earlier, Steve, didn't we? And he was less than impressed with City's, I suppose you could call it a performance, but even for them, bluster.
Just bang us back on OBS, please, Cam. Let's have a look how that looks. 1-2, yep. Looks like it's peaking. Brilliant.
There we go.
Hopefully that's not coming too loud for everybody. Yeah, we had Sean Goater in. Props for coming in the day after a derby. Obviously, as a Manchester City legend, if it had been the other way around, I had to go and do some City Guys podcast today after getting beat in the derby. You wouldn't have fucking found me. So fair play to him for coming in. Andrew Watt, sound as a pound. Can't argue with that.
He was a very nice gentleman, Sean Goater, to be fair. For a guy who scored, he scored two in that 4-1 win, was it? Was it too? When Gary Neville absolutely fluffed it, yeah.
Picked his pocket, didn't he?
He did, yeah. I had no idea he was a United Academy graduate.
No, most people don't, which is why we address it literally at the start of the podcast. It'll be out in the morning tomorrow if you want to go check it out.
Interesting stuff in there as well, especially about Kevin Keegan for anyone.
Yeah, did you not know that?
I didn't know that. We'll keep it quiet for those who want to listen, but some of the stuff about Kevin Keegan was pretty surprising.
The quote on him was pretty shocking but funny at the same time, yeah.
Did OBS die? Mint. Right, apparently that just died and has come back on. Mint. We love technical difficulties.
We're not at it
today. Tea time. You what? Fantastic. And if you are, it might be the XLR port on your mic. I don't think it is.
You hope it's not.
No, I hope it's not. Is it back? Oh, yeah. Cam's going to start crying if he keeps getting blamed for the audio issues.
Blame producer Cam.
Some of them are his issues, to be honest, because he doesn't do what he's asked. But,
he's drinking a shot glass of milk right now, and that should speak volumes about what kind of guy he is, to be honest.
Wow. But yeah, you can get this on an audio download if you'd like to listen to our technical difficulties rather than see them. And that is on iTunes, it's on Spotify, and it's loads of different places, actually. So if you fancy checking that out, what we're doing is every week I am choosing someone to select and give a mug to. So I'll come to that
mug, Stephen, would it?
No, it's better than that.
Oh, there's a new mug.
We've got one of those, and we've also got one which is the podcast logo, which is me and Joe. So I'll come to that in a little bit, and we'll find someone to give a mug to. People are saying, have you heard about Chong? What's going on with Gomez? So, what do you think of the game yesterday?
Unbelievable. It caught me by surprise just how dominant United were, really.
First half.
I didn't think City created anything for the whole game.
I thought they got a grip of it in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, I think on StatZone it said they created one big chance.
What was that one big chance? I was trying to think.
Sterling had a miss.
Yes, I would have thought that as well. Yeah. But besides that, I can't really. It's 19 games now he's gone without scoring against United, by the way.
He hasn't scored or assisted in 2020 yet.
Yeah, he hasn't had a get goal involvement in, like, I think, well, he won the penalty against Madrid, but for like 15 games, something insane like that. It's been absolutely shocking.
Someone says Scott's goal is better with Titanic music.
I've seen it all over Instagram.
I haven't seen that yet.
Please tweet that to me.
Has there been a goal celebrated that wildly at Old Trafford since Fergie's left?
Surely.
Yeah. One that always comes to mind for me was, it's a bit of a weird one, I think it was Boxing Day against Middlesbrough when we were 1-0 down.
We scored twice.
Was that under Jose?
First season. Zlatan scored
that header. Yeah, I remember that. It was like two in the final, like 3 minutes or something. Yeah. Like Pogba and Martial scored as well.
I think the Olympiacos hat trick by our VP, that got celebrated quite wildly. Mm. I'm sure there has. It's just one of them, isn't it? With like the recency bias. No, yesterday was the biggest.
Even after the game, like, you saw the Stretford End, like 10 minutes or 20 minutes after the final whistle was gone and the stadium was out. They were still there. They were still singing. I can't remember.
Yeah, the wind just felt so big, and it's like the whole team did a
lap of honour
at the end. I think that just shows how much it meant to them and all.
It was definitely something different about the crowd yesterday. Yeah. It just felt so...
You were at the game, weren't you?
I was. I'm battered and bruised because I fell about 10 rows when McTominay scored.
I fell down a row as well.
I nearly killed my dad.
It was good. I mean, someone was saying that it was probably the loudest goal that they've heard celebrated Old Trafford. And we were just saying that about maybe goals that you celebrated more. But in terms of noise, I think when that second one went in, I've not heard Old Trafford be that loud in
because
a long
time. We knew we were hanging on. And we obviously knew that you score, it's over.
Yeah. Plus as well, like, how many times have we done that against City where we've gone and just been dominant? I mean, when the Titan 11 come out, I don't know about you lot, but I looked at it and I went, that is the worst City side I've seen play at Old Trafford in years.
Hang about though, that forward six is naughty. It's not a great defence.
The defence was terrible, but that's what I mean is that...
But they still paid 50 for Cancelo.
They've always had a team though. Well, yeah, I know, but they might have paid that for them, but they're still shit. You know what I mean? Like, we've paid for players well.
They're not shit. João Cancelo's not shit. Otamendi is not shit.
Well, they conceded two and we conceded none.
Yeah,
Otamendi's had one good season in five for City.
If I could have Wan-Bissaka or Cancelo at this moment in time, as the game was, it's Wan-Bissaka. And if I'm having Maguire over Otamendi, I'm doing that. And I'm not going to defend Lindelof, but it's one of them where you go, on the lineup, I just thought we've really got to test that defence. I mean, I remember when we played them in, I think the worst team I've seen was when we beat him under Van Gaal, when we beat him 4-2. That was a pretty bad side then for City. In retrospect, but this one was so there for the taking. The bench was better than the starting 11.
Yeah.
If they would have played all six.
Because obviously De Bruyne and Laporte, massive misses for them. Oh. But I still feel like their starting 11 was stronger than ours.
We still had Pogba and Rashford mission. So anyone that says this De Bruyne argument is completely nullified by the fact that our two best players are out for the long term.
Yeah, Guardiola said after the game that De Bruyne was missing, so they didn't lose.
Well, they did.
We scored two, they scored none.
This narrative, a lot of managers...
Somebody fucking explain how football works to that fucking silly ball twatter.
Well, I was going to say, do we start running a narrative that all this money that Pep's been given, and he's been given a lot and he's spent really well, but the fact that he's been given all this money and he can't build... I don't want to say he can't build a defence because he can, but he can't have a backup plan for when your starting players go injured?
He'd rather play a midfielder than a £50 million centre-half.
Maybe that's his style of play because obviously they play from the back, but it's just like...
What John Stones 2 years ago, whenever the fuck it was going to revolutionise central defending.
It's just not worked out for him.
Well, he said, didn't he, Pep, that he could be the best centre-half in the world, but he's not letting himself be. There's like a mental block with him that'll just never sort of get there. And I think it's one of them where you just cash in and go, move on.
So on that then, so Pep had the guy that could be the best centre-half in the world, and he had the most talented player that's he ever... So what you're saying is then Foden is the best player in the world. That's what you're saying.
Stop putting Iniesta.
Yeah, that's what you're saying because... Yeah. You've coached Messi. So if you're saying he's the best player you've ever coached, he's better than Messi.
He had a bad performance as well.
And that's the first time you've started in a meaningful game.
Yeah. And it's one of them where he is young after all, and it was Old Trafford, and it's his first derby day and all that sort of stuff. But I just feel that when you miss De Bruyne and you've got Silva on the bench, why on earth aren't you playing him? If I'm a City fan, I'm there going, why aren't you playing your best
players? They'll never question him. They'll never question why he's having like the fucking worst defence since John Ruiz. They'll never question why he spent £1 billion and has to rely on fucking players that... I mean, who even signed De Bruyne?
Pellegrino.
Was it Pellegrino?
Pellegrino.
Yeah, in his last season.
He used to play him off the right-hand side. And he was all right, don't get me wrong. He was brilliant then, but, I mean, he's different gravy under him, under Guardiola. But the simple fact of the matter remains is that City's side is that good that if you take one player out of it, they should be able to batter us.
Or five players out of it. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at all the players that hold that City team together. I don't buy into Sterling being the third best player in the world.
No.
But, like, Sterling's not a Pep signing.
No.
De Bruyne's not a Pep signing. Silva's not a Pep signing.
The spine of the team was already there.
Otamendi wasn't a Pep signing.
No, he wasn't.
No.
Was he not?
He, no, was the last season under Pellegrini, I think, as well.
Because we was after him as well, and I was gutted that we missed out on him. Not really, because I think now he's very, very average at best. I mean, I've got mates who are Blues that say that when he's on the pitch, they genuinely do not know what he's going to do. If he's going to have a 10 out of 10 or a total 0 out of 10.
City have spent $1.5 billion in the last 10 years, still less than United.
Honestly, I don't think Otamendi would have started if Laporte was fit, would he? But
So, regardless of what you've spent, like, you spent that in such a short time. We've only spent what we've spent. We've spent it in a...
Spread over a number of years.
Yeah, United have spent at a higher level. City have just gone for, like, £50 million backup players. Like, there's no luxury to that. Also, most of what you've spent is still there. Most of what we've spent on isn't there. Look at the big signings. Di Maria, gone. Pogba, basically gone. Lukaku, not there.
Yeah,
It's weird. The number of players Pep's been able to sign.
City have this... they've been remarkably been able to keep... You know, these players like Aguero and Silva, when they first signed, I don't think anyone was under the impression they'd be there 10 years later. But they've managed to keep hold of these players for 10 years.
Aguero,
Silva, all these players have been there for the best part of a decade.
Sterling was crap before Pep, no. You don't know, one spent $50 million on him because he was crap.
No.
Sterling's a quality player. Like, no, Sterling is a quality player.
He's out of form, but he's still...
Was he bought the same year as Depay?
He was bought the year after.
Because I remember there was an argument about who was going to be better than out the two. I mean, it was obvious that they were both future players.
It was, because he left Liverpool, I think.
It was the season after. It was, yeah.
Because
the other season where they were shit. And then he left after that.
Right after they competed for the league, and then he went after that, yeah. The same season De Bruyne and Otamendi came, I think it was the same summer.
This is what I mean. City's had this project. This is why they're where they are now, is that it's been a 10-year project where they've come in and they've gone, by 2020, for example, just to round it off, we want these pieces to be in play. This is why they got like Tiki Bergstein to be like director of football, with the end game of Guardiola be it. All the academy has players that suited that sort of play. And then the end game was to get Guardiola in, which I could probably sort of get with if I'm a City fan and as a football fan in general, and go, well, that's great long-term planning and it's worked. But then you look at the state of us right now with like the Glazer ownership and all that sort of shit that's happening, and you go, it's like a what-if scenario. What if we had that 10-year plan where we go, we'll do this, and in 10 years we'll sit down and we'll think about what's happening next. Instead, it's just been this sort of like panic sort of mode of, oh God, what are we going to do now? Do we keep Solskjaer? Do we get Poch? Do we do this? Do we do that? We got rid of Van Gaal because Mourinho was available for 3 more years. Van Gaal was only going to go after that one. And there was no long-term planning there. That was just a simple, oh shit, we've got to do this now sort of thing. It's all panicking for me for United. And that's where the transfers come into it and all. You said like City, Steve, that they buy like a lot of players for say 30, 40 million. We buy one for 80 and then that's it. Yeah. We blow it on it. But we don't need the strength in depth, really. I mean, look how vital players were for City. Like fucking Delph, even, who just done a shift for them.
Yep.
And the players that done a shift for us were like makeshift winger stroke fullbacks that were well past the sell by
date. I'm doing the maths.
Are you doing the maths here? You're number crunching? Are you going to get statistical on the people in the comments?
I think on transfers, like, realistically speaking, United obviously need to go into the market, but I think they need, you know, a few starting players, but more so sort of players to improve depth.
Yeah.
Like, so we don't have to rely on the likes of Lingard and Pereira to make an impact off the bench.
Our like strongest 11 isn't that bad, all things considered. We're talking Rashford and Pogba. If Pogba gets back in the side, we're talking all the attitude things out of that. He's a most talented footballer we've got, bar none.
All right, footwits.
This isn't even net spend because
I'm not really a big fan of net spend because it doesn't like include what you fucking earn as a club, which is whatever. But in terms of the players available and the squad values and shit like that, if you like, City has spent over $1 billion, United has spent $800 million. That's since 2013.
Is that net or is that just total?
2014. Like that's since summer 2013. So since Fergie, essentially, United has spent $800 million. But if you look at what United has spent in the 10 years preceding that, like, City and Chelsea absolutely blew us out of the water with it because, you know, we didn't spend. From them 5 years of the Glazers coming in, we'd spent like $19 million.
Sold Ronaldo, brought in Michael Owen, Gabriel Obertan and Antonio Valencia, I think kind of just sums up the way the club was being run transfer-wise during that period. Totally.
It's not even ins, it's outs. I mean, we don't get money for anyone nowadays. Do you know what I mean?
Bermatov went for $1 million.
Yeah.
To Fulham.
Van Persie, we didn't even announce. You know what I mean? Welbeck went for, I think, the most up to when we got rid of Lukaku or Depay, one of them two.
No, we got, we've been able to recoup money on some players. Like, we got money back near enough for Di Maria. I think maybe 5 or 7 million off. We got like 44. We got 44 million for Di Maria, and he cost, what, 56? Was it 56? So, like, you're talking 10 million. Time, and when you're considering how bad he was, getting 44 million, you know, wasn't the worst. And Lukaku as well.
Well, he wasn't bad. He just didn't want to be here.
Yeah, with, like, three goals, 10 assists.
Do you know what I find bizarre about it as well? If he didn't want to be here so much, why did he get a number 7 in the Premier League on his arm?
Because he's a liar.
Exactly.
I do think his stint at United was very underestimated though. Like he was good. He's
just he had a hell of a sit.
He's
like
a flop because he didn't want to be here. He wasn't a flop on the pitch.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he was a flop just given the fact that we signed a guy who was the best player on the pitch in a Champions League final a few months before, and within a year he was already packing his bags for Paris. When you look at it, just take a step back. He's a player you want to win you a league, essentially, Di Maria, and he just wasn't that. And it's no fault really of the club. He threw his toys out of the pram when Ashley Young was being picked ahead of him.
He just didn't want to come. I mean, Madrid were planning for that midfield of Casemiro, Cruz, Modric at the time. Bale had just come in, and it was like, well, we've got 60-70 million pounds on the bench.
59.7. So 59. We lost a quarter on him.
British record at the time as well, wasn't it? I mean, that was mad to think that that's a British record then. And then you look at it now. Remember the night we signed? We played Fred MK Dons and got beat 4-0. That was fun. I was in Cyprus when that happened, trying to find a live stream. Turned it on when we were 3-0 down. I was like, yeah, don't think I'll be watching that one.
Half the squad was sold out. Like, half the team who played that game. God. Yeah. Like, Johnny Evans gone. Cagua gone.
People always gone about Hernandez.
Is that holding on still?
He's the only one, is he? Probably.
No, there's more than that, but there's not many.
Did you read that latest thing about Lingard from the goal? Lingard's Christ. Set to be sold by United this summer. He's lost Solskjaer's confidence. He's only considered for less important matches now. Here's the key line. The player regards himself as one of Europe's best number 10s, which is at odds with a manager's appraisal.
Who put that out?
Goal.
That famously reputable organisation. Now,
very in-depth. Look,
on this, I'm going to find out about that because I'm not buying that in the slightest.
Which part? The fact that he believes he's one of the top 10s in Europe or the fact that, I don't think he believes that.
No, I think he's going. I don't know where. I would presume Italy, but I don't know. I heard off Jess on Saturday. I don't think he's coping too well with the shit that he's been getting. I think he cares deeply.
He's a United fan?
Yeah, I think he cares deeply. And I think he probably shouldn't read social media as much because it ain't real.
Yeah. No.
But I think it becomes real when shit like what happened at Derby happens.
Yeah. You don't do that.
It's fucking stupid. And it's not needed. It wasn't warranted.
Was that definitely United fans?
I thought that as well, because, you know, when that comes out, you don't want to be like, well, it might not be United fans. Yeah. We never know. But I thought that as well. It could have been. Question you don't know for sure.
But read the username, because the username's going to give you a clue to the question.
Turkish elite?
Yep.
Is Turk Turkish?
Are you? In any way?
Are you?
Yeah.
No. That's a letdown.
No, I'm not.
That's a letdown.
No, I'm very much English.
Oh, there we go, lads. Is the new kid Steve's son? Yeah, who called that one?
I went through that. Who else went through that as well? I think Ryan was also called.
Ryan gets it a lot, yeah.
Ginger Housen's son. I'm also Housen's son. Housen's got many sons around this office, apparently. Allegedly.
Sling dick. Like a doctor.
I hope my mother's not watching.
She usually tunes into our shows. Especially when I'm on.
There's a bit of news about Chong, wasn't there, as well? Come out today.
Yeah, sounds like Chong's supposedly going to sign 30 bag a week contract extension. It is surprising.
30.
But I know that he can maybe get better, but the simple fact of the matter is he has probably been the worst player this season. I think everything he's done on the pitch has been the wrong decision. And he's sort of in that weird purgatory where he's too good for the 23s and just not good enough for the first team. And he's just, I don't know.
I think if he does, he needs to go out on loan because, especially if we strengthen in the summer as well, he's not going to get game time.
Yeah, and it just seems so lightweight to me. Like, I get that certain players, you know, can be pushed over and stuff, but, I mean, the guy falls over when someone breathes on him, but it's not a dive, it's a genuine, I can't
I just think he's got limited ability. He used his, you know, speed, which is fine sometimes, but you do have to have an X factor about you, and I think he didn't have an X factor for me.
Do you know what I don't get as well? Like, this whole thing with Chong, and Gomez, it's just bizarre to me. They're both in the same contract situation, but why does one play a lot over the other?
Yeah.
Especially when, to me, Gomez is 10 times better, especially when we've been crying out for a number 10. I mean, Fernandez, obviously great. I would have wanted him regardless. But if you're telling me that Lingard and Pereira are better than Gomez, then I don't know, because you've got to give the lad a chance. And you can't throw him on like in the League Cup match against City and go, that's got to happen.
On that, you know. I'm going to read you a stat out. I haven't verified this.
A stat in the YouTube comments. That can't legit, be right.
But the fact that it's in the YouTube comments, it's definitely true.
Yeah, this is true.
I am going to check on this, because it's something I've been asking about for a couple of weeks.
Go on.
Would you like to read it, Turk?
Why not?
Go on, Turk, do the honours. Out of context, United incoming.
Rookie mistake. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, 11, has created more Premier League chances from open play since the beginning of the 2020 than Trent Alexander-Arnold with 10.
Get some.
Is that open play, do you say?
From open play.
That's such a specific stat that it is probably true.
It is.
It's probably true.
I mean, that's legit, because I look at it and I go, I don't see Trent actually, he's just a volume merchant from open play. From set pieces, he's actually a bit deadly.
He takes all their set pieces.
No, I would disagree with that. Do you mean just like a volume of just putting in crosses and like, are you looking at the numbers?
I'm looking at it and hope from him.
But like, a lot of his crosses are of a high quality though.
No, the fucking not.
Oh, they fucking
are. No, they are fucking not.
They are, like, they are.
Do you want me to go through how many times he'll get 0 out of 11 in a fucking match?
You say, wait, what does 0 out of 11 define that no one gets on the end of it?
But
that doesn't always mean that the crosses are... What, 0 out of 10 is in no one touches it in the end. That doesn't mean that they're not high quality crosses. Some of them probably are. Because if you are putting in 11, 12 a game, 5 of them may have been quality cross. I'm playing devil's advocate. Everyone's going to get clipped up. But 5 of them could have been quality balls.
Fundamentally, this was the issue with Ashley Young as well. People are like, oh. But ultimately, as you as the ball carrier, it's your responsibility to make sure that you deliver it to someone. Now, of course, I generally don't mind if you're losing possession to create chances. Bruno loses possession a lot. De Bruyne loses possession a lot. Messi loses possession a lot because they're creating stuff. What I saw with Ashley Young, and one of my fundamental issues with him, is that I didn't think the crosses were good. And I think that you've been able to see, I think even Delo, his crosses look a little bit better. They're a little bit more successful. I don't think Trent's open play crosses are anywhere. I mean, I think his set piece crosses are excellent. I don't think from open play, I don't think his crosses are all that.
I think Wan-Bissaka as well. I'd like to see when those chances came, because I think he's really improved his delivery the last few months. I've whittled it down to the last two, because now he's actually seemed to got a bit of technique. First few games I've seen him at United, it just seemed to be sort of like a hit and hope. I'll just get it in the box, I'll see if someone gets on it. Whereas now there's genuine sort of thought behind what's happening. And like, I'll just say as well, like a bit what Goto was saying off camera to us, was that Wan-Bissaka needs to sort of stop focusing on your defensive game. Like, he's mastered that. He's probably the best one-on-one defender in the league, maybe Europe, I don't know. But going forward, that's where he needs to improve now. He just needs to start doing it, especially with modern-day fullbacks and all the stuff coming out about that. Now you need to add that to your game. So, yeah, that's my two cents.
I think I've just been called Stat Red Man in the comments. I don't know why I'm so red. I might be allergic to tea.
Yeah, I blame Mitts. Nice one, Mitt. What are you doing, man?
Oh, you stirred it with coronavirus.
Oh, fuck's sake. You can't say anything about being ill without a coronavirus joke.
Someone's made a good point there about imagine Sancho in front of him. So if he can carry the attacking burden and then Wan-Bissaka can carry the defensive burden.
You said
burden,
that with Goto on the finger. You said, like, literally just be like, I'll do this. You go up there and do that.
Yeah.
Good. I think it's Southgate was there yesterday, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So I'd be very surprised if he wasn't impressed by the
amount of right backs England have as well is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the amount of quality there, the totally different attributes that you can go, can make an argument for every one of those starting. It's just how Southgate wants to line up this Euros.
Yeah, he's got to pick his way of playing and then build the team around it. We did say that earlier, didn't we? When we were talking about how it seemed like that golden generation, they just pick the biggest names and hoped
try
it
fit
would
them
work.
On yeah, Paul Scholes out in the left, yeah.
Yeah, whereas maybe Michael Carrick should have played a bit more. Maybe Owen Hargreaves should have played a bit more. Maybe even someone mad like Scott Parker or someone should have played a bit more just to do an extremely specific role. Now, people go, that's fucking stupid. Well, just look at this Liverpool midfield. It's extremely functional and it facilitates what the attack is trying to do. If England had done that back in the day, rather than just pick the superstars that play for themselves like Gerrard, you know, why play a 5-yard pass when a 60-yarder will do?
Yeah.
Like,
I'll tell you what as well, talking about the right back situation, I think the left back situation is heating up now because Shaw's come into probably his best form since he's been at the
Chilwell's
club.
Chilwell's been poor.
He has been poor. A lot of Leicester fans have been saying that.
You'd say on paper a few months ago it's Chilwell all day of the week. Now it's Williams maybe getting there as well.
Saka as well has been ridiculous at Arsenal this season. I mean, although I don't think he's a left back, but still.
I think this Euros, Southgate's always said, "Only I'm picking players off on form. I'm not caring about previous allegiances with any of them." So that'll be really interesting to see because for me, it's got to be a back four of Shaw, Maguire, Gomez, Wan-Bissaka, stroke Trent.
Just I'd love to see Trent in centre mid. I know it's not going to happen because we're, a few months away from the Euros, but I'd love to because that's his natural position, isn't it? That's where he played.
Well, I know they played there in the academy. I think that's one of those where they just get you on the ball a lot because they rate you.
Yeah, true.
My fucking mic gone again.
Oh, for God.
Tell you what, fucking bullshit in here.
I do agree with the comments having a go at... it's producer Callum this time. Producer Cam's had enough. He's over there. He's giving.
Wait. What's happened with Niguez?
No.
Oh, have you seen that?
He was liking a load of posts.
All right, yeah. We saw that yesterday, mate. Don't get us all excited.
It's just got us giddy.
Yeah, fucking hell. I'm having my pants off in a minute.
Sancho was also liking a lot of Instagram posts as well. Loads of graphics of.
It's Instagram, though, isn't it?
Grealish.
I just like random shit on the Explore page. Fuck it.
Steven knows something. I can tell that smirk. That shit-eating Twitter IDK smirk. There's Noah from a mile away. I saw him in Morrison's, and I asked him, is he going to United? And he said, fuck off. So that must mean he is going, because he didn't deny it. That's the mentality, but...
Right, I'm going to pick this one. This is Jimmy Man H. Get in touch, please, because you are winning the mug for this week. He says, Joe Smith, although the most generic name of all time, he's anything but the man, the myth, the messiah. He protects me in my dream and invigorates me on my screen. We'll have that. If you would like to get in the mix and win yourself a mug, we was hoping that we'd have them here today, but I guess we'll have them for next week.
Here's one of them anyway. So you can.
Then all you got to do is go and leave us a review, a 5-star one ideally, on iTunes. Tell us why you love it. Make us laugh, and I'll choose you for giving a mug away. And that's about it, really. Go and check out the Stretford Paddock FC stuff if you're interested.
We've got a shirt.
Here it is. We have got some Stretford Paddock FC merch, these shirts, but there's all sorts of training gear on there as well. The link for that is in the description. And if you fancy that, go and check it out. Also, go and check out the episode, which I posted on my channel on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And we also need players as well, if you're interested, get in touch about that. Go and check out some of the writing from both Kieran and from Turk. About 4 or 5 articles a day going up, isn't it?
It's steadily going, the workloads and the clicks as well, so a bit of help as well. With recommendations for content as well, we're open to that.
Yeah, let us know what sort of writing you want, whether you want us to do a bit of a roundup in terms of like social media and stuff. Did you do that yesterday?
I didn't know, I did the review instead.
Alright.
We'll get on that today, don't worry.
We'll do it.
On that note, thank you guys for tuning in. Just a real short one because I got to fucking get home today, so we have to make it nice and quick. But check out the Sean Gotto podcast in the morning. Make sure to subscribe, leave us a fucking good review, and go buy some merch. And we'll see you in the next one. Laters. Yeah.